What is TWS podcast episode, whatever, who cares at this point?
The rant with the vindicated.
It's my podcast and I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still alive?
It's not working for me, Rich. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
When ready.
I feel like the end is
staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
They ain't ready.
So much on my mind, I just can't recline. Blast the holes in the night till she bless sunshine. Breathe in, inhale vapors from bright stars to shine. Breathe out, we smoke, we trace the skyline. Yo, it is another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. I am J.Dot Flynn, and if my probation officer is listening, we smoke is not tracing the skyline. I'm keeping it lawful, sticking to the terms of my probation. But yeah, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode who knows at this point of the What Is TWS podcast. This episode is going to be another Flan Man Dolo type episode. I've been going through, you know, just some stuff personally for the last, couple days, and I just figured I would get back to what I actually enjoy doing, which is, you know, making this podcast and talking to the people as like my own personal therapy session. So y'all bear with me on this one. It's just going to be me. I'm going to be pretty much ranting about random topics for the next 30, 45 minutes. If you're a fan of the show, you've been through this before. We've done this a couple times. But let's do the usual first, pay the bills. TTCharities.org. People, please check out the website. Donate what you can. Time, money, clothes, food, books, whatever it is they need. I think we're still in their promotional period, the summer of giving. So if you give to them, there are promotions to give back to you. I think the one that I'm aware of is tickets to that the Smithsonian African American History Museum. So, if you donate a certain amount, you can get tickets to the museum, which are hard to get right now. So, if you can do anything to help TT Charities and the good work they do over there, please do. Even a repost or retweet helps. But TTCharities.org, please check it out. And then Rena'sCakeys.com. I was just at a game night. At Arena's not too long ago. I don't think there were cakeys there, but cakeys are awesome. I've had quite a few cakeys in the last couple weeks, and they are awesome. If you don't know what they are the size and shape of a cookie, but the texture of a cake with icing and different flavors, lemon, lime, strawberry, almond, coffee. There's another one. Can't think of it right now. But please check it out. Along with the cakey, she does, all kinds of other baked goods, elaborately decorated cakes, wedding cakes, pies, macarons. Everything is great. But check it out, Rena'sCakeys.com. That's R-I-N-A-S, Cakeys.com. And then last but not least, Celebrity Hair Corp. Get all of your natural hair extension needs taken care of. With free tax and no shipping. So CelebrityHairCorp.com. Let them make you look like the star that you are. All right. So I got that out of the way. I'm just trying to recover from a little bout of depression. I think I'm just been down, going through a little bit of a funk, and it seemed like the best thing to do. Just, talk it out. Just get on the mic. See what comes out. See if I can. I've really been enjoying, putting together this podcast and just the whole process. I think, I listened to an NFL player once talk about, what it takes, to reach that level, to reach the highest level of whatever it is that you do. And one of the things he said is it's falling in love with the process. And I think, you know, this is one of those things where I'm enjoying it so much that I am I'm falling in love with the process. Like, I enjoy every aspect of it, from you know, coming up with ideas for the shows, to recording the shows, to posting the shows, to promoting the shows, you know, the social media aspect. I mean, it's pulled me out of my shell in a lot of ways that I really didn't expect. And yeah, I'm really enjoying it. So I think I am falling in love with the process, and looking forward to where this might take me. But I think, you know, hand in hand with that, the more I fall in love with this new venture, the more, I guess, flaws and things I see in my current situation. You know, I work in IT, and I've been doing that for about 10 years. And, you know, I think there was a time where I loved it. Like, truly enjoyable for me. I think when Habs and I first started dating, she would routinely get upset with me because I'd be at work and I'd be so engulfed in a project that I didn't want to leave. And, you know, we had plans and she'd be waiting and, you know, I'd be trying to get something done. I feel like I was just like, you know, one step away from finish, you know, just give me 5 more minutes, just give me 10 more minutes, you know, and I would go on forever, you know. And having a job where you didn't want to leave like that, that felt like a good thing. But that was about 10 years ago. And since, I've really lost my taste for it. And I think the more that I get involved in this, the more like the little things in IT that were annoyances but didn't stop me from enjoying the work are now like, you know, like the biggest fucking thing. Like, what in the fuck? Like, what's wrong with these people? Like, you know, I don't have the patience for it. Yeah, and it's been an adjustment period for me for the last, you know, month or so, just coming to terms with where I am, where I want to go, and finding a way to get through the daily grind so I can get back to the thing that I enjoy doing. So I'm working through it, people. I thought I'd share. It's one of the reasons why I started this podcast, so I'd have a place to be open and honest and be able to talk to folks about, you know, how I feel about whatever, including how I feel about, you know, what's going on with me. But yeah, oh well. Let's get into some stuff you might care about. Nah, this is more stuff you probably won't care about. But, all right, so other things is irking me, right? So the other day, my wife and my brother-in-law, we all went out to eat. We went out to a local spot around here, Phil's Ice House. They have great burgers, and they're connected to a ice cream shop, Amy's Ice Cream, that, you know, if you're in Austin, you know all about Amy's. It's, you know, awesome, you know, locally made ice cream. So it's usually, you know, a good thing. You know, we're going out to Phil's, you know, we're going to have a good burger, get some good ice cream, you know, go home. They got a playground in the back so, you know, my daughter can get out and have fun, you know. It should have been a happy family outing. But one family in particular just decided to ruin it for me. And I still can't right now figure out if I was just being overly sensitive that day, or if these people were being, you know, complete and total assholes. You tell me. So we are at the restaurant, and at some point I just start to hear this consistent, annoying squeaking sound. It's just constant squeak, 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 just over and over. It just won't stop. Then I realize that there's like a 2 or 3 year old girl who has on shoes. You know, like they had the shoes where they light up every step. These shoes squeaked with every step. And they just let her run from one motherfucking end of the restaurant to the other end of the restaurant for like, it felt like forever. I want to say it was like an hour. We might not even been in there an hour, but it was forever. It was just squeak, 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 squeak. I know it's got to be annoying them. So how do they not know it's annoying everybody else? And why would you take her out the house with those shoes? I don't even think, you know, this is probably one of those cases where they didn't buy the shoes. It's probably somebody that doesn't have kids that bought the dumbass shoes. And then the little girl fell in love with them. She wants to wear them because they squeak and then they're awesome. And so now the parents have to suffer with that. But just because you have to suffer with it doesn't mean that we have to suffer with it. Let her wear them all she wants to in the house, in the backyard, wherever. But if you're taking it out in public, take the motherfucking shoes off. Or if she's gonna cry, if you won't let her out the house with the shoes on, well then take her and then put her in a high chair or something when you get to the restaurant, so she's not running around the restaurant making that freaking squeaking noise. Because it drove me insane, and it just added to the mood that I was in. Just Jesus Christ with this, you know, like I never wanted to just like drop kick a little girl like that. I just wanted to, you know, like whatever I can do to knock her unconscious so she stops moving. And these shoes don't squeak anymore. I wanted to slap the parents. Like, I wanted to fight everybody over this little girl and these shoes. Like, the little girl needs to know that that's not appropriate in public. The parents should have known it's not appropriate in public. Everybody needs to get smacked because of it. It was one of those days. It was such an annoyance that, like, the first thing I did was pull out my phone and open up a new note. And, like, I'm talking about this on the park. I'm talking about these fucking squeaky shoes. So, all right. So, two things, people. If you know a small child and you're in the store and you see some squeaky shoes and you're like, oh, my God, she would probably love these. Don't do it. Like, do us all a favor and, like, squeak them a couple times in the store to get it out the system. Or do it, like, multiple times so that you can realize what you'd be unleashing on the populace if you were to buy these shoes for this little kid. I really don't think parents are doing it. I can't see a parent of a child not seeing the inherent danger in buying the damn shoes. It had to be somebody who don't have kids who couldn't put two and two together and just thought it was the cutest thing in the world. But if you shopping for a 2 or 3 year old child, things that make noise in general, not a good idea. Especially if you can't stop them from making noise. Like, if you're going to buy something that makes noise, it needs to have an off button. And it needs to have an off button that the child can't easily find so that I can turn it off and prevent it from making noise. And, it's, you know, she can't turn it back on. But you buy a little squeak toy, you know, for a two-year-old, shoes, every motherfucking step. Do you people understand every step? And she just ran from what? Just squeak, 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 squeak. I can hear it coming. I can hear it going. I'm having flashbacks as we're talking about it. I can't take it. All right, but speaking of food, today is Wednesday. I'm recording this podcast on Wednesday. I'm going to release it on Thursday. And I'm just going through the list of things that are bothering me. Stuff that's been irking me. So Wednesdays are normally a good day for me because Wednesdays are breakfast day at the job. Like, you know, I come in on Wednesday. I get there normally earlier than everybody else. And after about a half an hour or so of me being there, the receptionist gets there and she normally has breakfast. You know, and it'll be breakfast tacos, it'll be donuts, it'll be whatever it is. And today it was kolaches. I don't know, for some reason today I was more than usual looking forward to this work breakfast, and it was kolaches. And I don't know, I've been in Austin like 4 years, and I guess, do they have kolaches anywhere else? Like, do folks know what a kolache is? Because I didn't know what a kolache was until I moved here. But it just doesn't seem like something that could be specifically Austin or Texas. It seems like it has to have come from someplace else. But I don't know. I can only describe it like a bun with shit in it. Like, I don't know. Sometimes it's like they have the sweet ones with jams or whatever. But most of the time for breakfast, they're like bacon and egg or sausage or whatever. And people seem to love these freaking things. And I think they're fucking disgusting. And I've been here like, you know, forever now. And, you know, I would have thought it'd be something I maybe would become accustomed to, but I still like hate kolaches. Like, I'm not a fan of kolaches. If anybody's like, hey, what should we get for breakfast? We'll get some kolaches. But like, man, you know, fuck you. Like, what is wrong with you that you want these little meat buns? I don't know what they are. They're horrible. And it's like when you have an alternative, something as beautiful as a breakfast taco, which is the simplest, most wonderful, like, gift from heaven you could ever imagine. It's just a tortilla. It's a taco. You just put breakfast food in it. And it's awesome. And it's like, if you can get that, that can't take the same amount of effort. It's like, it's not possible for it to take the same amount of effort to fill a tortilla with some eggs and some bacon as it does to like bake something, bake the egg and bacon into a bun. Bro, I don't get it. I just don't get it. Doesn't make sense to me. They're disgusting. I keep trying to like them, and the more I try, like, just no. Why wouldn't we get breakfast tacos every day, all the time? My wife will be leaving on Saturdays, you know, to go to the gym. She'll be like, "You want me to bring back tacos?" Why are you asking me? Yes, bring back the tacos. Of course, you know which ones I want. I like the sirloin and egg and the bacon and egg. No cheese on mine, please. Please and thank you. I'm just saying, kolaches, breakfast tacos. I don't know, what are your breakfast food? Like, what do you eat for breakfast? What do they bring into the office that you enjoy? I don't mind the donuts, but most of the time, I like a savory breakfast, I think. I want bacon and eggs or something along those lines. So breakfast tacos are my preference. Kolaches fucking suck. I don't know. I don't feel any better for saying it, but I said it. What else? This Mayweather Conor McGregor situation. Like, that's been irking me too. I don't know. Like, I have no expectations for this fight. Like, I don't believe this is going to be anything worth watching. For some reason, I feel like if I don't watch it, I'm missing out somehow. So I got to. I'm not going to buy the fight. At most, maybe I'll go to a bar or something and watch it. But I'm on probation, so I really can't do that. I don't know where I can go to watch the fight. Figure it out. But yeah, I feel like McGregor's doing the only thing he could possibly do. Like, the only thing he could do to stand a chance. And that's, you know, like, try to get in Mayweather's head. I feel like everybody's done it. McGregor is probably doing it way better than anyone, you know, has ever attempted to do it before in the past. Like, let me take that back. I think everybody's attempted to do it. I think McGregor may be the first to actually be somewhat successful. I think, you know, the lengths that he's been going may just be getting to Mayweather. But that's like the only shot he has, is to somehow distract him, getting his head. And even with that, like, that's a small shot. Like, you're basically hoping that, you know, maybe he throws one too many punches in a combination because he's trying to knock you out, you know, and you got a shot. Like, you got a split second. You still, you know, you still, even distracted, you're still fighting one of the best pound for pound fighters of all time. You know, so even if you get in his head and you get him to go for the knockout rather than the points, you're still talking about like a small window where, you know, you could probably get in there and do something. And you'd have to do it, like, you're only going to get one or two shots total. And they're going to be like milliseconds. And if you're not ready to take advantage of them, it's going to be over. And we're going to see another Mayweather victory. Like, I don't know. I want to see Mayweather get knocked out. I would love, I would celebrate that shit. I would dance an Irish jig if something bad would happen to Floyd Mayweather. Man, that would pull me out of my funk. Like, I would be like, whoa, yay. I'd be on Sesame Street. Forgive me, I watch a lot of Sesame Street now. So, like, when I think of Paradise Now, it's sunny days chasing the clouds up. Like, Sesame Street. Gotta be Sesame Street. But, yeah, I don't know. The whole boy, like, dance for me, boy. For some reason, it didn't bother me. Because I really don't think McGregor understands, like, the social impact of him saying boy. I mean, he was dancing, so, like, you know, say dance for me, it only became something that people think is like racist because he said boy. And I don't think McGregor has this, you know, an understanding of what that means in this country. I don't know, that's just how I feel about it. I could be wrong. But yeah, that's Conor McGregor Mayweather situation has definitely been one I've been watching, but I'm trying to decide while I'm gonna watch the fight or not. It just dawned on me that I can't really go to a bar, so I'm gonna have to figure out something else. If anybody's showing the fight, in the Austin area, anybody that I know that listens to this podcast, which is like nobody. But if anybody wants to invite me someplace, that'd be dope. Moving on. OJ about to get out. Or maybe. I mean, his parole hearing was today, I think. So I was listening to Steve Harvey this morning on the way into work. And I think J. Anthony Brown did a whole like sketch on his, you know, asking the people or whatever about whether or not OJ should get out of jail. And I don't know. I you know, I'm sure they picked the ones that like sounded the dumbest, and that irks me, but the fuck ever. Who cares? But yeah, half the people like, yeah, he should stay in jail, you know. And then you had the other half that were like clear that all of this was a conspiracy. That I think somebody even said, like, nah, he didn't take a gun. They planted the gun on him. Like, it was just, like, straight, like, black people conspiracy theories. And I hate that. Like, I hate that above anything. Like, don't just defend anybody black because they black. Like, don't come up with, like, you know, police conspiracies and they planting shit on people just because it's a black man that did something. Like, I don't know. I think he ran in there with that weapon and tried to get his shit back. That's what I think. And I think that proves he's a murderer. Like, because that's not where a normal person goes in their thought process. Like, somebody took something from me. All right, let's mob up. I'm going there, you know, take this gun. We're going to get my shit back. Like, that, you know, like, I think the only people that go right there are people that, like, do shit like that and potentially, like, murder people. If you took my stuff, I'm like, the first thought in my head is not, all right, we're going to get a gun. You know, we're going to go get shit back. Like, that's not, I don't know. I think the fact that after you beat a murder rap, that you still in the mindset of running up in places with guns proves that you just an impulsive, angry person that does dumb shit with weapons, a.k.a. a murderer. So, I don't know. I think he did it. Whether or not he should get out or not, I don't know. Maybe he should stay in there because I've talked too much shit about OJ and I value my life. That's the only argument I have. I'm real personal with my shit. Like, I don't, it has to affect me. That's sad, but true. Sad, but true. So I say all this to say, I think the big thing that really has been irking me recently that I wanted to talk about the most on this episode of the podcast was I've been seeing a lot of posts, and I've even been involved in discussions on Facebook and other places, social media, about like this whole idea of people down in black men for doing stuff like, you know, identifying it as gay. You go to brunch with your boys, that's gay. You do this, that's gay. You go to the movies with another dude, that's gay. You go to that, you know, all this stuff. And then we get into these like debates over whether or not it's gay or whether or not these kind of posts or accusations are what are eating at the masculinity or the egos of black men, and you know, if this is the stuff that's creating homophobia and blah 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 yada yada yada, and the whole premise just bothers me. The whole premise of whether or not these posts have some sort of impact on black men's masculinity just bothers me. And it bothers me for this reason. Like, I was I got picked on a lot as a kid. Like, a lot. I think I've discussed this in another episode, but I got picked on a lot. I was a small kid. I was a teacher's pet, smart. So I was not the most popular kid in school growing up. And I got picked on and bullied a lot. I had an older sibling that we didn't get along. So, you know, coming home, you know, I probably still got picked on a little bit, you know, by my sister. You know, I didn't come from an affectionate household. There wasn't a lot of, you know, you're awesome and, you know, you're great and blah, you know, that's not the way. We didn't communicate at all, you know, for the most part. I laugh a lot, now that like one of the punishments, a punishment for my sister and I when we would fight, is my mother would force us to hug. And that was our punishment, you know. And like that was such a uncomfortable thing for us to do. Like it would take us like 5 minutes to hug because we like approach each other and do the like trying to do the slow like how little of my fingertip can I touch you with to constitute a hug. Like it was the dumbest shit ever, but like that's how unaffectionate you know my household was. But so I'm saying this to say there wasn't a whole lot of like ego stroke. I don't come from a place where there's a lot of ego stroking and a lot of you know, you being told, you know, you're this or you're that, or you have, or you know, or people worrying about your self-esteem, so to speak. But my mom did, you know, teach me one thing in particular, especially with all the bullying and the being picked on at school. She wasn't the mom that was going to run up there and, you know, and yell at teachers about, you know, what some kid said to me or what some kid did to me, or it wasn't, you know, the kid's fault, the kid's parents' fault. What my mother would say to me was that, especially if it was just something somebody said. Now, if some people got physical with me, then maybe it'd have been different. But if it's just people talking about me, my mom would say, she said this to me. She said, if somebody says something to you that you don't like, you only have two choices. Only two choices. One, you can change so that they can't say it anymore. Or you can not care. And those are the only two choices, because you cannot dictate to people what they can and cannot say. You cannot tell people that they can't say something about you, that they can't say something that you don't like. That's not an option. Your options are change so that they can't say that thing anymore, and they'll probably find something new to pick on you for, or to not give a fuck. And that's when I think of masculinity in general, when I think of self-esteem in general, that's the concept that resonates with me. It doesn't, people are going to feel however they want to feel about whatever you do, whether it's going to brunch, whether it's going to a movie, whether, you know, whether it's holding hands, whether it's saying I love you to another dude. I don't care what it is that you do. If you call another guy just to shoot the shit, somebody might say that's gay. Like it doesn't matter what you do. Somebody's going to have an opinion on it. If people have an opinion on what you do, and people expressing that opinion in a public forum are going to change you, or going to cause you some sort of distress, or cause you to not be able, you know, to be as confident, or not be able to be as secure in who you are as a person. If people saying something or having an opinion on your actions are going to shake who you are as a person, then you don't stand a chance. You don't stand a single, you know, you don't have a chance in this world. You're going to be just shaken and change. You're going to have to change with society's whims. Being a man, masculine, and to me, it extends beyond manhood. It's just being a person, you know, being a stand-up person is believing in what you believe and being who you are and knowing who you are. And having enough faith in who you are as a person and who you and what you do, that regardless of what somebody has to say, it doesn't change. You know, who cares? I don't want to have discussions about whether or not somebody saying dudes going to brunch is gay. You know, whether or not that's good or bad for black masculinity. It shouldn't have an effect one way or the other, because we should be men enough to let somebody say some dumb shit and let it roll off us. I don't look for approval from anybody to operate the way I think is the right way to operate. I tell people all the time, like, getting married simplified my life, because at this point in my life, the only person I ever have to look to make sure that they're okay with my decisions is my wife. And if my wife is good, if I think what I did was right, and if my wife thinks what I did was right, then who cares what anybody else thinks? And I want to stress that, you know, across the board, for all, we're reaching this point where we keep trying to control what people have to say about what somebody else does. Like, that's the issue. No, the issue is teach your children, teach people to be strong enough in who they are that it does not matter what anybody says, because you can't control that. You can't keep trying to control the external, you know, so that your internal doesn't get shaken. You're giving too much power to the outside world. Be you. Decide who you are and live that way. And regardless of what anybody says, keep moving. Regardless of what I say, there are things I'm going to talk about on this show. I'm going to give my opinion, and I hope it don't shake anybody. You know, I would hate to think that you soft enough to shake because of something I say. Who am I? I ain't nobody. But it's my opinion, so I should be able to give it. It shouldn't be on me to prevent you from being hurt. You need to be strong enough to not care what I have to say. And I think that's the major thing that's been bothering me for the last couple of weeks. Probably why I've been in the funk a little bit. I guess the outside world shook me. But sometimes you gotta talk it through to get your G back a little bit. I feel better. I feel better. I'm me. I'm always going to be me, you know. And so this show is always going to be what this show is going to be. And, you know, and I hope, if anything, I inspire people not to give a shit about what I say. You know, if you learn anything from me, if you take anything I say to heart, it's to not take anything I say to heart. Who are you? Figure that out. And if you know who you are, and you can be you, regardless of who anybody else is, then, you know, I think the world becomes a better place. But we gotta stop trying to figure out if people should say this, or if saying this is detrimental to that. Nah, like, let's teach our children how to be secure enough in themselves that what somebody else says doesn't bother them. Because people are going to always have something to say. Always. Whew. That's gay. Nah. I don't know. But yeah. That being said, there's a lot of darkness out here in the world, people. And instead of pointing fingers at the darkness and giving more light to the darkness, I got to figure out a closing thing. There's a lot of darkness out here. Don't point fingers at the darkness. Be the light. Thank y'all for listening. Peace.